As one, your voice may not be heard. As one in a million, your voice cannot be ignored. Rick Santorum's Patriot Voices stands with you for faith, family, freedom, and opportunity in America. Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. This is your time to stand up and let your voices be heard.
Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio. Hi, I'm your host, Dan Davidson. It is your time to stand up and make your voice be heard. Patriot Voices Radio is here with you the second and fourth Tuesdays every month at 12 noon Eastern Standard. And again, we have a great show lined up for you. We will be talking with Senator Rick Santorum and his wife, Karen, about their new book about their daughter, Bella. It is Bella's Gift. So they will be joining us, and it's very exciting. It just was released yesterday, so there's been a lot of focus and a lot of great feedback, and it's already inspiring many people. So we look forward to talking with both Rick and Karen Santorum a little bit later in the show. We also are going to spend some time talking about an important issue that Patriot Voices really has highlighted in the last year. It's Common Core. And there's a new bill that's been introduced in the Senate by Senator David Vitter from Louisiana. And we had time to get an interview with Senator Vitter about this important issue. And so we'll be sharing that interview as well. We'll also hear from Adrienne Cordova Johnston. She's our Pennsylvania State co-chair. And she'll give us a perspective from a book signing last night in Exton, Pennsylvania. So that'll be exciting. Later on, our executive director of Patriot Voices, Nadine Mayenza, will check in with us for a few minutes. And we'll also touch base with Shelley Alishmeyer, our national grassroots director. Patriot Voices continues to grow, and so she will be sharing about ways that you can plug in and get involved. It's all about our voices coming together. I want to share our number. As always, you can listen to Patriot Voices Radio live from your phone. This is great to just put in your phone and just have it there. It's 347-857-3462. You can also call, and a lot of times we will take questions on the air, so keep that in mind. 347-857-3462. And we have a 24-hour shout-out line. You can call and just share a short message, and that is 512-827-0033. Your voice will be recorded, and we love to share those on the air, and we'll be sharing a few throughout the show today. We also have a giveaway today, and it's a great prize. It's a signed copy of Bella's Gift, the new book from Rick and Karen Santorum. It will be given away to someone through our Patriot Voices Facebook event. So all you have to do is go to the Patriot Voices Facebook page, join the radio event at the top of the page, and you'll be automatically entered to win. It's that easy, and we will be drawing winners throughout the show. To start off here, we'd like to focus on the issue of Common Core. And just to get you updated, a Common Core are some standards that have been proposed by the government, which basically would mean there'd be more government control and intervention. And so Patriot Voices really highlighted this issue months ago, and it's been building steam as far as supporters realizing that this is not a good idea and that the federal government should not be involved in creating standards that are implemented by our states. Instead, parents, teachers, school districts, and local communities really should be making these important decisions for our children. And with Common Core, Patriot Voices sees a loss of parental and local control, the waste of millions of dollars, and really a move towards a nationalized curriculum. So Patriot Voices has really taken the lead in this issue, and so many people have got on board over time, and now there's been a new bill that's just been introduced in the Senate, and it is called the S-73 bill, and we had a chance to catch up with Senator David Vitter. He's a Louisiana senator. And he's the one who introduced this bill in the Senate, and we're going to share the interview that we had with him just this morning. So let's listen to him now. We are honored to have today on Patriot Voices Radio, Senator David Vitter from Louisiana. Senator, welcome to Patriot Voices Radio today.
Thank you, Dan. Great to be with you.
Well, we appreciate you taking time and your busy schedule to join us. You have introduced some new legislation in the Senate that will help in the fight to stop Common Core standards, and we want to get into the details of that in a minute. But could you share with our listeners why this particular issue is so important to you and why it should be important to everyone in America?
Well, like a lot of folks, I'm very concerned with the growing power and control of the federal government in many areas, including education. And that's not leading to better results, and it's very, very contrary to the traditions in this country of local control of education. And unfortunately, the feds are getting into the act in this regard to try to promote and sometimes coerce states, virtually mandate states, to pursue Common Core. Again, we shouldn't be doing that in any area, particularly education, where we have a long-standing, vibrant tradition of local and state control.
I know just 2 weeks ago was National School Choice Week, and that's when you chose to introduce this legislation. Can you tell us a little bit more about Senate Bill 73?
Yeah, the bill is really straightforward. It takes away any carrots and sticks that the Department of Education or the federal government has to push, coerce, lure, use whatever verb you want, states into adopting Common Core. The two biggest tools they've been using are a race to the top grants and No Child Left Behind waivers. And they've clearly used those two tools to really push states hard into the Common Core consortium. And so this would take all of those tools away. It would nullify any grants or waivers or other things that have been used in that way in the past.
I know Representative Joe Wilson introduced a similar bill in the U.S. House of Representatives also.
Right.
So this is something that seems to be new broad support across the country.
Yeah, and what people are most concerned about is this sort of federal intrusion bordering on a mandate. And even Common Core supporters say, well, they're not for that. Well, if they're not, they're going to support this legislation, take away all of those sticks, carrots, and anything in between to use toward pushing states to Common Core. Clearly, this Department of Education has been doing that aggressively, in particular using the Race to the Top grants and the No Child Left Behind waiver.
I know, of course, you represent Louisiana in the Senate, and I just want to kind of share a recent quote that you said about this topic. You said, when it comes down to it, I trust folks in Louisiana to make decisions regarding their children's education far more than I trust bureaucrats in Washington. Parents, along with local teachers, principals, and education leaders in our communities, know best on how to spend our education tax dollars. Can you expand on that?
Well, I mean exactly that. I mean exactly what I said. We have a tradition in this country of local control of education. We should really preserve that and defend that with everything we have. The encroachment of the federal government in this education space has not led to better results. In fact, it's coincided, and some folks would say it's helped produce worse results over the last 30 years. Local control isn't enough. We need to do more in education to improve education at the local and state level, but it's a very, very important first step to pushing back on federalization of this.
You've listed a couple bills that are important to you, Banning School Choice Act, Homeschool Opportunities. Would you like to share a little bit more about those?
Well, you mentioned it was just School Choice Week, and I'm a big, big proponent of school choice. I'm a big fan of voucher scholarships, of charter schools, and of homeschooling. All of that represents real ways that parents can control the destiny and education of their children and have real choice in the matter. I think the more good choices we give parents, the better results we're going to have. At the end of the day, nobody has more of a stake, more drive, more passion to pursue educational excellence for their children than those parents themselves.
At this point, we want to make sure our listeners know how to communicate with their congressmen and senators. How can members help at this point and get the word out to their representatives?
I really encourage all your listeners to contact their own senators and representatives in Congress and mention this particular bill and really push it strong. They can do that through email, through phone calls. Very easy to do. I know a lot of people are cynical, don't think that has an impact. It does. It absolutely has an impact.
Sure.
Mostly when two things happen. Number one, when you're talking to your own congressmen, senators, people you can vote for or against, and those offices know it. And number two, when it happens in significant numbers.
Well, and just to share with our listeners, at patriotvoices.com, one of the top banners we have right now is a banner to put parents back in control, Stop Common Core, and we make it very easy where you can just put in your zip code and you can get directly, you know, to a database with your representative. And as we highlight here, Senator Vitter, that you have introduced this legislation that will prohibit the government from mandating, incentivizing, or coercing states to adopt the Common Core standards. It's interesting to have something that, you know, will incentivize but also coerce. That's just an interesting pair.
Yeah.
But that's the federal government for you, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they often use any tool at their disposal, and sometimes it's incentives, and sometimes it's outright coercion bordering on a mandate. And so, again, the bill is Senate Bill 73, the local control of education. I'd really encourage all your listeners to, again, talk to their particular senators and their particular congressmen and say, please support this. This is important.
Senator, do you sense that there's a growing momentum for support behind your bill?
There is, just like there's growing momentum to get the Fed out of this business of coercing, mandating, luring, anything else. So that definitely has growing momentum around the country, in part associated with the whole Common Core debate. And because of that, this bill has growing momentum.
Well, thank you so much for taking time today and standing strong for America's hardworking families on this important issue.
Thank you so much, Dan.
We want to thank Senator David Vitter for taking time to share his principles and passion behind Senate Bill S-73. It's the Local Control of Education Act. What a great thing to name it, Local Control of Education. That's what it's all about. We need you to stand up, make your voice be heard. It only takes about 3 minutes to go to patriotvoices.com, click on the Common Core banner at the top, and you go right to a page where you can put in your zip code, and we'll get you tapped into your local representative in the House and Senate, and make your voice be heard. Send a letter, email, and they need to hear from us, as Senator Vitter said. A lot of support is building for this, and Patriot Voices, we want to continue to lead on this issue and get the word out. So thank you for doing that in advance. We want to now shift gears, and as I mentioned, we're going to have Rick and Karen Santorum here on just a little bit to talk about their new book, Bella's Gift. Adrienne Cordova Johnson, she's our Pennsylvania State Co-Chair of Patriot Voices. She had an opportunity to be at a book signing last night, and we want to welcome her to the Patriot Voices radio show today. Adrienne, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I know the Santorums kicked off their book tour last night in Exton, Pennsylvania, and you were there. Tell us about the event.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, we were so excited that we were the site for their kickoff. Unfortunately, every time the senator comes for a book signing in Pennsylvania, we seem to have snow and ice, and last night was no exception. But we had a terrific crowd anyway, and I think that they were very excited for him and Karen especially to come.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I know the book was just released yesterday. Have you had an opportunity to read some of it?
I have. I was able to read it a few days ago. Our Barnes & Noble had a few copies, and I was able to get one, and I really enjoyed the book. I read it from start to finish, and it was a very intimate and encouraging account. I just really would like to get it into the hands of as many people as possible.
I know it's an inspiring story, of course, about Bella and their family. What do you think some of the benefits are going to be from this book for those who take time to read it?
Well, I think first off, because it is so emotional and so personal, it really gives a glimpse into the Santorum family and how Karen and Rick not only support each other, but how their other six children are very supportive and how they've all really stepped up and are there to support each other and help out. I also think that the book would be very, very encouraging to nurses and doctors, people who are in the medical community who can really see firsthand how families, you know, function on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure it was exciting to be there as they kick off a book tour. And I understand Patriot Voices is going strong in Pennsylvania. How can folks reach out if they'd like to be a point of contact or a chapter leader in Pennsylvania?
Oh, definitely. We're growing by leaps and bounds. We're so excited. We have people throughout the state. People can go on to Pennsylvania Patriot Voices on our Facebook page, and they can let us know there that they're interested in helping out, or they can log on to Pennsylvania@PatriotVoices.com and let us know that way that they would like to be a point of contact or a chapter leader. I would like to say that Senator and Mrs. Santorum are going to be in Lancaster, Pennsylvania tomorrow night, Wednesday, at 7 p.m. To sign more books, and they will be in Pittsburgh on Thursday night, and people can get more information about those two events on Pennsylvania Patriot Voices.
Wonderful. Well,
Facebook.
Thank you, Adrienne, for sharing with us today, and thank you for your leadership in Pennsylvania.
Thank you. May I just say that last night several people came with their own special needs children, and I think it was most encouraging for them to meet Rick and Karen and to speak with them, because no one else can really understand what they're going through, and I think that it was very, very encouraging for those families to come by in the wintry weather to meet Rick and Karen.
You know, I saw the same thing when they were at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. So that's really great that you shared that.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Adrienne. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Adrienne Cordova-Johnson, our state co-chair in Pennsylvania, there at the book signing last night in Exton, Pennsylvania. We are giving away a copy of Bella's Gift today during the show. All you have to do is go to the Patriot Voices Facebook page and join the event for the radio show today, Patriot Voices Radio, at the top of the page, and you'll automatically be entered for the drawing. We're giving several copies away, and so that would be an awesome thing to have. Speaking of Bella's Gift, we are going to now ask and see if Rick and Karen Santorum can join us live on the show. Hello. How are you both today?
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much for having us.
Hey, Dan.
Oh, hello. Great to hear you back again. And we just was hearing from Adrienne at the book signing last night. It's got to be exciting. And congratulations on the new book. And I know you're on a tour and doing some media. It must be exciting to get the word out.
Thank you. We are excited. Bella's a little girl with a big message.
Absolutely. Well, let me, for those, I know many people know the story about Bella, but for those who may not know the whole story, Karen, can you just tell us a little bit about Bella and the history of, you know, her condition and, you know, of course, which is the inspiration for the book?
Yeah, Bella was our eighth baby, and she was born special. She has a condition called trisomy 18, which is a syndrome. And it is, these children have a third 18th chromosome in every cell of their body. And it causes a lot of different issues with their health. All these kids are different and all their issues are different. But I can tell you that Bella was told, we were told when she was born that she wouldn't live, that she would surely die. Not one person gave her any hope except us. We believed in her and cheered her on and loved her and cared for her. And I'm so happy to tell you, Dan, that we'll be celebrating Bella's seventh birthday in 3 months.
Wow, amazing. That is, she's truly a miracle.
She really is.
First, yes. How does trisomy 18 affect Bella's daily life, just to kind of give us a sense of that?
Well, She cannot, talk or walk, but we always say that she talks to us and we understand her, and anyone who has a special needs child understands that. I mean, Bella, while she can't do those things, she gives a lot of love, and we, you know, every day she loves to dance and sing and read books, and she's riding horses now. She loves therapy riding, and she's just a really joyful kid. She reminds us every day of the most important thing, and that is love. And she's a very, very happy little girl.
Yeah, she's a healthy girl, too. I think most people think, she's on lots of medications and is sickly, and she's not. She's not sickly. But she does have some physical impairments. I mean, and that we sort of have to keep our eye on. And she's like a child with Down syndrome. That it's a genetic disability. So she's made a little differently. She has she's got all sorts of little things that are just unique to her and to people who have this disability. But she is really very, very robust and healthy. And when people see her, they go, wow, she's really strong. And she really, for what they expected. But so we're just very blessed. She has a wonderful and joyful life, and we're very blessed to have her with us.
I know her smile just melts your heart. And she did that on the campaign trail a few years ago and continues to do that. And I just love the picture of her and both of you on the cover of Bella's Gift. I mean, it's just, what a beautiful smile.
She has a great big smile, although she's missing a few teeth at the bottom now that are growing in, which is great.
Uh-oh.
And you see her there with her hands clasped together, but when she sees mom or dad, she lights up with a big smile and she claps her hands. She loves to she gets very excited and she just lets you know how excited she is.
Now the new book Bella's Gift is all about Bella and your family. You share your story from different perspectives, which is a unique format. Why was it important for you each to have your distinct voices as part of the book?
Well, I think it was important because moms and dads, husbands and wives, they grieve very differently. And the journeys are really hard. It's really hard to get a tough diagnosis. And it just, rips your heart out. And so you grieve very differently. And so the stories are told very differently because I think it's important to, number one, Bella's Gift, we were very transparent with the story because I think that makes the book authentic. And it has to be real. So we told it the way it really was. And I think that, it's important to... The book ended up being a marriage book by accident, that even though you grieve differently, you need to learn to get through things together and forgive and heal and move on, but know that you're on this journey together and to stay strong in your marriage. Rick, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean this book is it's sort of a lot of books in one. I mean, the fact that we wrote it separately, it gives a really bird's eye view of what I was going through, both emotionally, spiritually, and what Karen was going through. And they're different. And as Karen said, we deal with things emotionally differently, and spiritually we dealt with them differently. We delve into that, and at times that was fine. At times it created some tensions. And one of the things we were really candid about in this book, I mean, I have to tell you the one thing that folks who have read the book were surprised at is how I use the term raw we were. We felt it was really important not to sugarcoat the stress and strain, the cross, if you will, that you have to embrace in dealing with this type of child with a disability and all the health problems she had, particularly early in her life, and the stress and strain it caused on the family and on between Karen and me. And we thought that was a very important thing to show because that's life. That's what people have to deal with. And so we felt sharing our struggle and how we came through that it was going to be more helpful than if we just said, everything is all nice and rosy and Bella's great and no problems.
Sure.
That's not real, and it's certainly not going to be helpful to people who are either dealing with this or maybe have loved ones who are dealing with it. And I say dealing with it, it could be a special needs child. It could be a whole lots of other things that are going on in people's lives.
You know, you're getting some great feedback, and the book is already inspiring many people. I'd like to just share a review and a comment at Amazon.com where the book is. And the gentleman says, from the introduction to the last chapter, this book is a story of love. Love, as their daughter Elizabeth described in the introduction, is agape love, that love done in service of another without expectation of a reward. I know that's the kind of love you have for your kids. Can you expand on that? Because that is what this reader really was inspired when he read it.
Well, Elizabeth is a co-author of the book, and she wrote the introduction.
Right.
We're very blessed. Michael W. Smith, who many of you know, the great Christian singer, songwriter, and performer, and he wrote the foreword to the book and did an absolutely beautiful job. And Elizabeth really summed up the book really well in the introduction and talked about this book is about love. In fact, there are 18 chapters in the book. Every single chapter begins with the word love, and we felt it
wonderful.
It was important to show the different lessons that Bella has taught us in what love is and what we experienced. And so, again, it's a story of our life with Bella and our struggles, and there's even a political element to it and how she impacted the campaign. So all of those things, chronologically happen. But the real gift was the impact and opening our eyes to the different aspects of love and what we're called to be.
Karen, I know your faith is very important to you as a family. How has that been a constant through Bella's childhood?
Oh, my goodness. Faith was everything. Faith is what got us through the struggles and the challenging times. Faith is what has kept us strong, and faith is what has sustained us. I feel like God opened up our hearts and filled them with grace, and that really gave us the fortitude for the journey. Without it, I don't know what we would have done. I mean, it really was everything. And, I think it helped with the kids, too, because when we brought Bella home, I realized I'm a mother, not just of Bella, not just of a little girl with special needs, but of six other kids. And I had to make sure that I was there for them, that I nurtured my marriage, and faith really sort of keeps everything in perspective, and you pray for strength, and God does give it to you. But it helped the kids a lot to frame everything in faith, where if they're looking through things, Bella's life, how suffering, brings about blessings, and that there are blessings, and even in the worst situations, and that really helped the children to stay strong.
I know your experience as a neonatal intensive care nurse, I'm sure, was a help with Bella, and I'm sure just helped you understand her needs, right?
It helped because Dan, it's so sad because so many of these kids are just written off, and there are certain diagnoses where doctors describe them as incompatible with life, or they'll refer to certain diagnoses as lethal without even looking at the patient. I've heard hundreds of stories about parents who've been abandoned by doctors. Literally, they walk away from their patients and maybe refuse to deliver or refuse to, do any care after birth. And what was interesting was, being a NICU nurse, I knew that when Bella was born, we didn't find out till 4 days after her birth that she had trisomy 18.
Okay.
And she was in the NICU, and she was doing quite well. And as a NICU nurse, I knew that. I knew that what they were doing was pretty standard for a NICU. And despite that fact, there was one doctor in the NICU that kept saying, "Why do anything? You've got to let go. Let her go. Why do anything?" And so that just did sort of help me to navigate the medical system. What I'm finding is, if parents today are so smart and they're really wise, I think, with figuring things out and doing their homework and research and navigating their way through NICUs and PICUs and hospitals.
Well, Karen being a nurse helped, but Karen being a mom was the most important thing here, because she was passionate about her little girl, wasn't going to give up on her little girl, and was going to do everything she could to find out what to do to help. And because this was brand new, Karen had never dealt with a trisomy 18 child. Karen, you never had one at the, in the PICU at the,
no.
that you remember.
No.
And so this was all brand new to her, too. And so I,
right.
I don't want people to think, well, you know, the reason that, that we did well is because Karen's a neonatal intensive care nurse. It was certainly on a technical level, some things help. But the bottom line was she was like most moms that we've run into, someone who goes out and voraciously tries to understand what's going on, talking to other parents. One of the reasons we wrote this book is because so many other families who have walked the path before us helped us much more than doctors did. It was the experience of these other parents who dealt with this that really was helpful to us. And so hopefully, again, we can inspire people not to just take what the doctors say, particularly with these diagnoses that are considered terminal or fatal or grave. You have to take each child or each person as they are and as a unique case, and don't throw them into a classification saying, well, we got to write these people off. Everybody is different, and that's what we want to stress here is the importance of every single life being unique and to take that circumstance as one at a time.
Senator, you say in the book that you came to the Senate and found the Lord. How did that and having a special needs child affect your faith and your stance on things like pro-life issues?
Well, that really goes back all the way back to the mid-90s when I came to the Senate and went through a situation. Karen and I came to move to, down to the D.C. area and found a church that was just an incredible church, incredible pastor who really opened our eyes to what the gospel is about. And then I had an additional benefit of having a pastor, if you will, in the Senate, the chaplain of the Senate, Lloyd Ogilvie. And so between those two men and Karen and I just together sort of flourishing and growing in our faith, it was really an opportunity to have a rebirth, if you will. And I always say, I came to the Senate and found the Lord. And what happens subsequently is what God does when you get close to Him. I always say God talks in whispers, and the closer you are, the more you can hear what He wants to call in your life. And we ended up getting involved in a lot of issues we'd never had before, and then had it become personal with the birth of our son Gabriel and the death of our son Gabriel. All of that became from an esoteric issue of the life issue to a very personal one, and Bella's a continuation of that.
Karen, I know you mentioned that many of the doctors in the hospital after Bella's birth wanted you to prepare for death, but you both chose to celebrate life. Can you tell us a little bit more about that decision?
Yeah, the NICU period was such a hard time. There were just a lot of tears and confusion and sadness, and I will never forget the day we brought Bella home from the NICU. And my daughter, Elizabeth, who is just wise beyond her years, said, Mom, Bella knows when you're crying and sad. And she said, and we should just be happy while she's with us. And we decided from that moment on that we should just celebrate her life, not focus on her death, but celebrate her life. And the gift that we have been given and what we thought was such a tragedy has ended up to be one of our greatest blessings.
That's awesome. Senator Santorum, in 2012, while on the campaign trail, Bella developed pneumonia, and her story was shared nationally, really for the first time. I know there was a tremendous outpouring of that. Can you just share, as you recall, that moment in time?
Well, we suspended the campaign because I had to take Bella to the hospital, and she was in a very dire situation. We ended up taking her to the hospital, announcing to the world after some discussion that Bella was going to needed to go to the hospital. We needed to suspend the campaign, and we asked people for their prayers, and it made all the difference because when we came into that hospital, Bella had an X-ray that showed her lungs full of fluid. They said that we were going to be in for a long haul. Last time Bella was in a similar condition, she ended up in the hospital for 6 or 7 weeks and was on a ventilator assisting her to breathe for 5 weeks. So we thought we were back in that world. And Karen and I sat in the hospital that whole day just praying, what are we going to do? And asking God to show us a light, tell us, lead us. Well, the next morning, They did another X-ray, and Bella's lungs were perfectly clear. Now, this is a little girl with chronic lung disease. That just doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen, period, but plus a little girl with chronic lung disease, it never happens. And so we felt like all that prayer of all, you know, people say, have you ever seen an answer to prayer? And we can show right there that was clearly an answer to prayer, and it really changed our perspective on a lot of things. And we decided to that was a sign for God for us to go out and continue on, and we did. And the whole campaign changed after that, and that was another blessing. We had, just like last night, as Adrian was talking about, we had people at all our campaign sites, showing up. People in wheelchairs, people with disabilities, families who have been struggling with that. Bella became a real voice for the voiceless.
Well, and I know just a couple of weeks ago I was with you there in D.C. for the March for Life, and many, families with special needs children came up, and you both are so gracious, and I know blessed a lot of people by just taking extra time to talk and share with them.
Says they're our heroes, Dan. I mean, they're the ones who are out there every day, without anybody knowing about it, with everybody patting them on the back, really sacrificing themselves. That agape love, that selfless, unconditional love. That's what makes the world go around. And they're exhibiting it every single day, and that's a beautiful thing.
Amen. And Karen, I'll ask you first, and then Senator, you can add. What advice would you have in general for parents of special needs children?
Well, I think first of all, I would say, find strength through your faith. God always is there, and He always strengthens you. The other thing I would say is it does get better. Allow people to help you. So many of us, we love helping others, and we love doing things for others. And sometimes it's hard accepting help, and that is one time you really do need the meals and the help with getting if you have other kids, getting them places. Some of the most important advice I took from being a NICU nurse, and that is, get cute little baby clothes and put them on the baby and take pictures, take lots of pictures, do handprints and footprints and just love your baby. You never lose with love. And it is a hard journey. Find groups. There's lots of support groups out there. Rick said, some of the best advice and help came from other parents who are on the same journey. And so those would be my pieces. And I know Rick has some advice to the fathers out there.
Yeah, I wrote in my actually Karen and I wrote a little end note, if you will, to the book. Giving advice to Karen's case is mom, and my case is dad's. And I start out my piece of advice with the term esto vir, which is a Latin word for, to be a man and to take on the responsibility, because the reality is a lot of fathers in cases where children are disabled or brought into the home, a lot of dads don't hang in there. They find it very difficult because it's such a life-changing experience. You give up so much of your life, and your life changes dramatically because of the care that's needed and the time that's needed to care for not just a child, but for a child with special needs. And a lot of fathers don't handle it well. And that's really when your manhood is tested, when you have to make that sacrifice for your family and you have to give up yourself. But in giving up yourself, you find something even more beautiful. And it's the verse, and it is in giving that we receive. And it's in dying that we dying to self that you have eternal life. And that's really the message that is a hard message in a world today that talks about do everything, feel good, pursue all the things that make you happy. And what really is the root of happiness is through self-giving and unconditional love, and that's the real challenge and call of the book.
Yeah, and the other thing I think Rick and I would add is make sure to nurture your marriage. Carve out time every day to pray together and do things together, but to continue to nurture your marriage so you can continue to stay strong on the journey.
Well, I know Bella's gift, the book, is going to just bless so many people and inspire so many. Let me ask each of you, Karen, you first, if there is one thing that you would like for readers to take away from the book, what would that be?
Oh, it would be that every person matters. and that, you know, lethal outcomes, lethal language too frequently leads to lethal outcomes. And so see the person who's worthy of dignity and respect, and not just the diagnosis, but every person matters.
Wonderful. Senator?
Well, I think Karen said it right, which is, you know, every life is significant. Every life matters, and we just thank God. And people say all the time, you know, wouldn't you like Bella to have all of these things? Well, of course we want Bella to be healthy. But we wouldn't change Bella. We wouldn't trade Bella in for anybody. She's been just an incredible blessing to our family. A challenge, yes. I don't want to sugarcoat it. It's a challenge, and it does change your life, but it's for the best. And you don't necessarily see it, or it's hard to believe sometimes, but there's no question about it. If you're open to God's blessing and you're faithful to Him, that He will bless you beyond measure.
Well, I am just so blessed by the fact that you both have come together and just shared so much of your heart and just being transparent about your family and your faith through this. And I think it's exciting that you're both now have an opportunity to go out and do some book touring and some media. I'm sure you've had a lot of great feedback so far about the book, haven't you?
So far, so good. We say that Bella's a little girl with a big message, and we're praying that the message gets out there. So it is an exciting time, and we pray that the book will really help to change a lot of hearts and minds and help others.
Well, I will tell you, this morning we did Morning Joe and we were told it was going to be with Joe Scarborough, and it turned out to be with Mika. And as you know, Joe's sort of the conservative there, and Mika is not. And so we didn't know what to expect, but it was really quite touching. Mika had read a big chunk of the book, you could tell, and throughout in the interview, once and maybe even twice, she got rather emotional, teared up, and about the impact of that book. And after we finished, she looked at me. She goes, "I'm going to have my two daughters read this book. This is really important to understand."
Wow.
The importance of the love that you folks showed, and that's why I said every chapter in this book starts with love, and the book is really about love. I mean, there's no question in my mind that Bella is alive today because of love, and if you think about that, in many respects, we all are, and so that's something that we need to remember, how important that virtue is.
Wow, that's very inspiring. We want to let everyone know that the book is pretty much everywhere. Online in bookstores. You can also go to bellasgiftbook.com to learn more. And you're right, Karen. We just want to pray that the message gets out. It's Bella's Gift.
Well, I encourage people not only to get the book, Dan, and please get the book, whether it's on Kindle, whether it's a hard copy, but please get the book and share that message and particularly
with physicians.
Yeah, particularly. If you have your doctor or your friends, just even if they're just your family doctor or pediatrician, give them a copy of the book so they realize, because so many times these doctors see these kids or see even older kids or even older people, and they see them as a diagnosis. They don't see them as a person, and that's really an important part of this book is to cut through this. This bureaucracy that has become medicine, and start treating the patient as an individual instead of something that out of a textbook.
That's a great focus. Karen, is there anything else that you'd like to add or share?
Oh, I just wish everyone could meet Bella. She's such a joyful, wonderful little girl, and we feel so blessed to have her.
We feel blessed that Greta, she was on Greta's show last night. A lot of people got a chance to meet Bella and see her for the first time and interact. And
yes.
She sat there for a good hour, half an hour with us, and couldn't have been sweeter the entire time. And I think you saw from Greta's comments, she was quite captivated by that little girl. And we feel very blessed that so many people are, and hopefully will continue to be.
Yeah.
Thank you all.
Thank you for taking time to share today. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dan. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. What a treasure to have Senator Santorum and Karen Santorum share with us today about their new book, Bella's Gift. It's how one little girl transformed our family and inspired a nation. Of course, the, the Santorum family, sharing there about their faith walk. And, well, what an inspiring story. So make sure you, you get a copy and you get multiple copies and share it with friends, family, people in healthcare. What just a tangible witness to pro-life. And again, as I reflect back, walking with other Patriot Voices members and Senator Santorum and Karen and their whole family, all their other children were there at the March for Life in D.C. They were the ones out there just walking it as they do every year. And this whole story is just a reflection on their stance, as they say, to celebrate life. And that's what they are continuing to do with Bella, who truly is a miracle, with her seventh birthday coming up soon. We want to remind everyone about today's drawing. We're giving away a copy of Bella's gift book. And so all you have to do is go to the Facebook site and just enter the radio event, and you'll be automatically entered. And we're going to be giving away a couple of Patriot Voices sweatshirts by the end of the show, too. So from the same thing, make sure you go there, and we will announce those winners throughout the show. We want to keep people warm with sweatshirts, and, of course, your heart will be warmed with the inspiring story of Bella's gift. So make sure to do that. We want to now add to our show Nadine Maenza. She is the Executive Director of Patriot Voices, and it's always a pleasure to have her on the show. Hi, Nadine. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing great. Really blessed from the interview with Santorum's there. It's an exciting book and a message that is really going to resonate and inspire a lot of people.
It is, and it and you already see this, like the interview that the senator mentioned this morning on Morning Joe with Mika. You know, it was really touching to watch her try to fight back tears as she asked questions about life with Bella and what they have experienced and the value for life and the love they have for her. It was just really neat, and so it really, you know, we it's neat because I think that even people with different political views from Senator Santorum, there's so many tweets and articles that have been out saying, you know, you put that aside and what you see is a family that's walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And that, you know, is such a great example. And, you know, the story of Bella is beautiful for that reason, because it shows the struggles that they've gone through and how they with their faith and with love and, you know, made some really tough decisions. And so it's, we're hoping that, like Karen said, a lot of books, it really helped strengthen her when she had begun this journey, and she's hoping that, you know, that can do the same with others and help those that don't have a family with a child with a disability to have a better understanding of those that do too. And so it's really a book that you don't have to have a child with a disability to read it. Really, it's a great story of people that are coming with difficult circumstances and how they deal with them. It's pretty touching. It's a great read. It's a really good book. So I'm hoping that it does well, and it's neat to see the impact it's already having.
Absolutely. Give us an update here. It's the first of the year. Patriot Voices continues to grow. We're focused on a lot of different important issues. We heard about Common Core at the top of the show. A lot of things going on. Give us an update overall.
Well, you know, as usual, we're watching a lot of the things that are going on, and you know, there's so many issues we could weigh in on all the time, and what we try to do is make an impact when we do weigh in on something. And I did just want to mention to look out for next week. As the senator mentioned, you know, we do want to share the story of Bella with physicians, and there's so many physicians who have never been able to meet a Bella and see the value of her life and to understand the choices that people are making, really.
Right.
And how, so the story of Bella is really important one to share with physicians. I think at the end of the day, we really want, so we're going to start talking about that a little bit more, so you can watch for that for next week. And, you know, we're watching some other important issues that are going on in Congress. I think, you know, the Keystone Pipeline is something we've been talking about for a very long time. And, you know, the good news is it passed the Senate. We got 9 Democrats to jump in with Republicans. It's
yes.
Poised to pass the House, But, you know, we do expect this to be the third veto of President Obama since he's been in office. The first one since 2010. So, you know, we do have it, and we're hoping we're wrong. I mean, we're hoping that there's enough pressure for him to sign this bill. And so we're just not going to give up. So we really recommend that you go to our website, futurevoices.com, click on our banner, send an email out, you know, encouraging, you know, the House and the President to sign this and for it to pass, because we really, you know, it's about jobs, it's about good jobs, too, and energy independence. And that's another, you know, it's about, you know, we're watching what's happening in the Middle East, who wants to be depending on these countries for our energy sources. So there's so many different reasons that we need to be supporting the Keystone Pipeline. And that is why some of the Democrats have been jumping over, because they can't go home and having not voted for it because of all the different reasons that it's good for America. And so, you know, we'll let you know how that proceeds, but please go ahead and, if you haven't already, jump on our website and send that email. We're also watching the Homeland funded DHS funding bill for Homeland Security. That
okay.
With this bill, it would block Obama's November 2014 executive amnesty order that gives amnesty to 5 million illegal aliens. So this bill we're watching right now, it is right now being it passed the House, and I think we sent an email out about it last week. It is in the Senate still, and the Senate, I think, three times has blocked it. So we're keeping our eye on that to see, you know, how we can weigh in on that. We're still – it's gridlocked in Washington, of course, and, you know, but we're – as you know, we feel strongly about blocking his executive order that he shouldn't have had the right to do to begin with. And, you know, and, of course, keeping an eye on the Middle East and, you know, Iran and Israel. And so the Senate is always very interested in all the issues happening with the Middle East, and we'll you know, keep everyone informed as things change there. So a lot of issues out there, a lot of things going on, and, you know, we will keep, you know, people informed when we see an opportunity for us to jump out and make our voices heard.
You know, I love your emphasis on being effective. And, you know, there are a lot of issues that when they're first brought up, many people say, well, you know what, there's too much of uphill battle, and it's just going to be too hard to really get the message out there. But you've got to start somewhere. And I think about Common Core. When that was first introduced, you know, within the first 2 months, 30 states signed up for it, kind of without a thought.
Right.
But then, you know, Pager Voice really took the lead and started raising some concerns. And now you see, you know, the messaging continues to groundswell. But someone's got to start, and Patriot Voices is so effective at taking issues like that and continuing to message and inform people.
Right. That was an important issue to jump out right away on, because we knew that, you know, let's face it, you can in Washington easily tell a local community what to do, and it's going to be a perfect fit. And now we're talking about our children. You know, so the senator, you know, is always believed, and we believe strongly that Patriot Voices, you know, to have local and state control and say over these kind of issues. And so Common Core immediately agreed with our values and our belief in local control of education. And so, and now watching it play out, watching, you know, the curriculum be implemented in these states, and we've all seen on the internet, you know, Facebook, or had friends show us a math page, and, you know, it doesn't matter where you stand politically. I mean, you have people on the left, people on the right, all speaking out and saying, this is not a good education. This is not something that I want my children to experience. And we have a lot of teachers saying, this isn't working. You know, I know I've experienced that, where I've seen a grid that my daughter is measured on, that no one at the school understands. They don't like it. They don't know how to use it. It doesn't make any sense, but here's the grid. We have to use it. So that, you know, we do have some terrific teachers, you know, that can come up with things like that work much better than someone in Washington can telling them how to do it, or someone on a curriculum committee. So we definitely are going to keep fighting, and we're glad to see Senator Vitter come forward with a bill that and I know he was great early on the show explaining it, that is really bribing or forcing, curing, whatever word you want to use, the states to have to implement Common Core, or they lose so much funding that hurts kids too. So these governors are in this situation. What do you do? Either way, it's like a no-win for them. They either lose money they need to run their schools, or they have to implement this curriculum they know that's going to hurt kids too. So I do feel really bad for these governors. And I know some of them have switched because they thought, you know, they gambled one way, and then they realized that Common Core was way worse than they'd realized. And
you know, obviously we're hoping they don't implement Common Core, and we're really glad to support this bill, and we're going to keep emailing about it and keep, you know, stuff on our website so people will know where it stands and how we can weigh in on that and help get that passed.
Well, we shared earlier in the show about ways that you can go to patriotvoices.com, click on the banner there for Common Core and even the Keystone Pipeline, and there's multiple petitions also, multiple ways, like the Common Core issue, where people can directly email and contact their representative. It only takes about 3 or 4 minutes to make your voice heard.
I think we timed it, and it was like a minute and 20 seconds or something. So really,
okay.
It's so fast.
There you go.
It's really,
minute and 20
really
seconds. Okay.
If you want to edit the letter, you can take 3 to 4 minutes. If you want it, what we'll do is it pulls up an email, and we've already put the text in it, but you can change it and make it your own and spend a few minutes if you want, for you to send kind of what we have. But it makes it an easy way for you to communicate. And like, you know, with this Common Core bill, you know, it's in the Senate right now, so that we have pulled your U.S. senators. You can send a letter we've put together for you. You can edit it if you'd like. And the nice thing about it is you will hear from your senators. Sometimes it takes a while. Some of them are really quick. Some of them aren't. It depends on the issues. Some issues, if they're for it, they'll answer you right away. If they're against it, they won't so quickly. But you will be able to communicate with your senators on this, and they do keep track of these numbers. So I can assure you that it matters, especially on the issue like Common Core that is almost nonpartisan right now. So a lot of senators are like, what do I do? They're really not sure where to go with this one, and they're really going to be swayed by the numbers, and that's why it's really important that we all step up and call and email and make sure our voices are heard.
Nadine, as always, thank you for joining us and just sharing your passion and enthusiasm for all these issues, and thank you for all your leadership for Patriot Voices.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all you do, and we really appreciate all the listeners and all of our members being a part of Patriot Voices. So have a great day.
Thank you, Nadine. Nadine Maenza, the Executive Director of Patriot Voices. There's so many important things going on. We'd love for you to get involved and be a part of Patriot Voices. There's lots of easy places you can plug into. You can be a member. You can be a point of contact, a chapter leader. And to talk a little bit more about that and get some other updates, we want to welcome our National Grassroots Director, Shelley Olishmeyer, to the show. Hi, Shelley. How are you?
Good. How are you, Dan?
I'm doing great. I know you've had a great growth of Patriot Voices, especially since the first of the year. A lot of recruiting, and people are just coming together. Give us a little update on that.
Yeah, well, we're really excited about the growth. I think people are finding out that Patriot Voices really is a great community of hardworking Americans that, you know, they really want their voice amplified, and they're finding you know that we're speaking into issues that are important to them, and not only that, but you know we're fun to be around, especially when we're in the trenches doing things together. So, you know, the March for Life activities a couple weeks ago, that's a great example. People are still talking about, you know, coming together and being part of something that's important, standing for life, but at the same time, seeing people that you've been talking to online for months and months, and just, you know, it just affirms that, you know, you're in the right place. Patriot Voices is a good place to be.
Well, it was exciting to be at the March for Life, and so many Patriot Voices members and people were there walking with the Santorums. And I know we also had a winner of a contest that actually Patriot Voices flew out, I believe it from Florida, right, John and Carrie?
That's right. John and Carrie were from Florida. We're our winners. This is the third year that we've done this. We have a little contest on Facebook, and it's really, you know, a nice way for us to you know, spread the word about Patriot Voices, and then some lucky winner gets to go to D.C. to join us. So, yeah, they were great. It was fun to spend some time with them.
That was exciting, and I happened to have a chance to just do a short interview with John and Carrie when we were there in D.C., which I'll share right now. We're getting ready for the March for Life, and I have here with me John and Carrie from Cape Coral, Florida. Tell us why you're here and what we're going to be doing here.
To support the right for life.
Awesome. And now I understand that you are the contest winners for the contest for Patriot Voices, right?
Yes, I can't believe I won, and for something so important, too, to be here and be a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. We just finished the Patriot Voices breakfast, and it's very exciting to see people like-minded marching for this cause, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe all the young kids that are here, too.
What's amazing me is that there's so many youth, the young kids. They're all over the place. It makes me excited for our future.
Amen. Well, thank you for being here and coming all the way from Florida.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun, wasn't it, to come together in D.C., Shelley?
It was. It's so good to hear their voice because we, you know, for a couple of days we spent quite a bit of time with them. So, yeah, those kinds of activities and trips are so meaningful. So I always encourage people to make the effort. There are bus trips that come to March for Life. Usually there's somebody in your local community who's putting something together. So it's always very meaningful. And, you know, CPAC is coming up in just a few weeks. It's another opportunity for our Patriot Voices folks to come to Washington, D.C. to, you know, be part of a large gathering and again, connect with some of us who've been, working with you for several months. So if somebody's interested in coming to CPAC and connecting with Patriot Voices there, I really encourage them to email me and let me know. And, you know, I usually give my email, so I'll give it now, shelley@patriotvoices.com. That's S-H-E-L-L-E-Y @patriotvoices.com. So let us know if you're coming.
Yes, and that is February 25th to the 28th. And Senator Santorum will be a speaker, I believe, on Friday. You can learn more at cpac.conservative.org. And so it would be a great another time to get together with Patriot Voices members and hear Senator Santorum. Shelley, there's lots of different ways people can plug in to Patriot Voices. And I want to share just a shout-out. I mentioned at the top of the show people can call anytime and just let their voice be heard, and that's 512-827-0033. And one of our chapter leaders, Sarah, had a chance to call into the shout-out line. And I love this because she talks about the importance of really realizing the future of America and for our children and grandchildren.
Hi, this is Sherry, and I'm from Monroe County in Pennsylvania. I became a chapter leader shortly after Patriot Voices began and started asking for chapter leaders to develop. This was because I really felt that Rick was the type of leader who could help us to unite and to work towards the purposes that are important to all of us, whether it was during election cycles or outside of them. And I felt that local chapters was the way to do this. So I was excited when he started asking for chapters to develop. Okay, God bless. Bye.
And that was actually Sherry rather than Sarah, so just a correction there. Shelley, tell us about chapter leaders and points of contact and how people can get involved more with Patriot Voices.
Sure. Well, we consider those folks basically local leaders. But before I talk about those, I want to just say that everybody can really make a difference. And even, you know, Senator Vitter talked about that during his segment that, you know, if you just take a few minutes, take a few minutes, and Nadine talked about it, send those emails, make those phone calls. It really does have an impact. So your voice really does matter. So open every email, find out what Patriot Voices is asking you to do. Get connected with Patriot Voices on Facebook. We have lots of groups. Every state has a group. We have some other groups that you might be interested in. And then share whatever you learn with the folks in your network, whether it's family or friends. So those are things that really anyone can do. But we are looking for people who are what we consider local leaders. The first level is a point of contact. And this person is just simply saying, you know, I'm willing to receive a phone call, a request about an event or a special activity, or if you need a volunteer. It doesn't obligate them to say yes every time, but it gives us somebody in your community to reach out to. And, you know, we'd love to have 100 POCs or point of contacts in every community. So that's a great role for somebody that wants to, you know, do a little something but doesn't have a lot of time. And the chapter leader, which Sherry mentioned, those folks are actually organizing people in their local community. Probably takes about an hour or two or three a week. You don't have to meet weekly or monthly, but we just ask that you meet on a regular basis and that you have some plan for, you know, what's next with your chapter. And we encourage those folks to start out with an Our Sacred Honor party. That's a DVD. It comes in a kit, a complimentary kit that we will ship to you to help you kind of get a kickoff to your chapter. So both of those are really very helpful to our organization, again, building that local presence for Patriot Voices so we can be more effective when we do weigh in on an issue. So I really encourage that. Again, people can email me, shelly@patriotvoices.com. They can also go to our website and pull down the Take Action tab and click on Get Connected, and we will reach out to you and get you signed up.
Shelly, do we have some winners that you would like to announce from our – yes, awesome.
We do. So we always do this event on the Patriot Voices Facebook page, and we always have a lot of people sign up. We have two sweatshirt winners. We have Jolene from Texas and Danielle from New York. They're each going to win a Patriot Voices sweatshirt. And then we have Lori from Alabama. She's the winner of the Bella book, which Rick and Karen just launched this week. I will be reaching out to them, and we'll get them their prizes as soon as possible.
And Shelly, before we leave here, we always appreciate people calling into the show, and they can do that and listen to it live at 347-857-3462. And we had a caller in that called in, and we want to thank Kim, our call screener, who handles all those calls. And it was a caller from Iowa, and her grandbaby is due in May, and the grandbaby has been diagnosed with the same trisomy 18 as Bella. And so, you know, the Santorums are talking about the power of prayer. So we just want to ask for prayer for their grandbaby, and as well as all special needs. And so just want to add that to your prayer list. And, Shelly, maybe you would like to just share a little bit about the prayer team support group as well.
Right. We have a couple gals, Maria and Sherry. They have started a prayer team through Patriot Voices, and you can, again, find that on Facebook, Santorum Prayer Team, or you can email me and I can get you connected. But it's just some folks that have come together really one of that's going to be their contribution to what Patriot Voices is doing. And there's a weekly email and an occasional phone call. So if folks feel led to do that, I'd be happy to make that connection for them.
Fantastic. So that's the Santorum Prayer Group. Well, thank you, Shelly, for sharing with us today. And it's been another inspiring show, especially with Senator and Rick Santorum's interview about Bella's gift. She truly is a miracle, isn't she, little Bella?
She really is.
So make sure to get a copy of Bella's gift and share the message of Bella. Thank you for joining us today. Patriot Voices Radio is broadcast live the second and fourth Tuesdays each month, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. So join us again in a couple weeks. You can also access our past archives at patriotvoices.com/radio. We're also available in iTunes, Podcast Directory, or any other podcast directory on your smartphone. Thank you for joining us. And as always, continue to make your voice be heard. God bless you today.